From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia secures supply of 340 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine by 2021. Minister Erlangga says Indonesia's COVID-19 recovery rate is higher than that of the world's average recovery. New Zealand extends Auckland City lockdown. Now the news in details. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that the fulfillment of the COVID-19 vaccine for the short term, especially for 2020 and 2021, has been secured. This was conveyed by Minister Retno Marsudi during a press conference after the limited meeting at the presidential's office in Jakarta on Monday. In this effort, last week, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Minister of State-Owned Enterprises as the Chief Executive of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery, Erick Thohir, visited China and the United Arab Emirates. Retno Marsudi explained that the result of the visit was that Indonesia managed to secure a commitment of up to 340 million doses of vaccine.
Dari kunjungan kedua negara tersebut dapat kami sampaikan bahwa
From visiting these two countries, we can say that for 2020, we have secured a commitment of 20 to 30 million vaccine. Meanwhile, for 2021, for the first quarter, we can secure between 80 and 130 million vaccines. While for the second to the fourth quarter, we have secured 210 million vaccine. Those, if we talk about numbers of for 2021, the number we can secure is 290 million to 340 million. Retno Marsudi added that the government is making short-term and long-term efforts to meet the needs of the COVID-19 vaccine. Short-term efforts include securing vaccine supplies for the United Arab Emirates and China. The long-term effort is to achieve independence in producing the vaccine. Chairman of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery, Erlangga Hartarto, noted that the handling of COVID-19 in Indonesia is better than the handling in the global average. He said it can be seen from the recovery rate for COVID-19 patients in Indonesia that is higher than that of the world's average. Erlangga, after a meeting with President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday, stated that the recovery case of COVID-19 in Indonesia has reached 70%.
Dari Indonesia ini suasananya lebih baik di mana
The situation in Indonesia is better where the recovery case has reached 70% and it is 70% higher than the global average of 68.1%. Then the fatality rate can be reduced to 4.35%. Even though it is still slightly above the global average, it has declined compared to the previous months. Moreover, Erlangga Hartarto ensured that the Indonesian government will continuously intensify the socialization of health protocols to prevent the spread of the COVID-19. It is also in accordance with the President Jokowi's instructions to intensify the campaign of using the mask. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, and the Malaysian Securities Commission, SC, agreed to cooperate in developing the digital financial industry, fintech, on two countries. This collaboration was marked by signing of Memorandum of Understanding virtually done by the authority's Deputy Chairman of the Board of Commissioners, Nur Haida, and SC Malaysia's Chairman, Dato' Syed Zaid Albar, in a series of Virtual Innovation Day 2020 events on Monday, as stated by Medcom. On the occasion, Nur Haida hoped that the cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia can develop and strengthen the national digital financial ecosystem. Meanwhile, Chairman of SC Malaysia, Datuk Sheikh Zaid Albar, stated the cooperation between the two institutions is a strategic step for the sake of a sustainable market growth of the two countries. Innovation amid the current crisis is necessary to get to a new digital reality. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the extension of the Auckland City lockdown until August 30, 2020. The Auckland lockdown was scheduled to end on August 26, 2020. The lockdown was extended after New Zealand recorded 8 new cases of coronavirus infection on Monday. Ardern said in a press conference on Monday that the extension of the 4-day lockdown in Auckland would allow her party to lower restrictions in Auckland to level 2.
The Director General has recommended to Cabinet, and Cabinet has agreed to apply a short extension of level 3 restrictions in Auckland until 11:59 p.m. this Sunday, 30 August. You may recall we were due to lift restrictions on Wednesday. These extra 4 days are believed necessary to allow us to move down a level in Auckland and stay down.
Level 3 lockdown means prohibiting the operation of public places such as museums, cinemas, restaurants, gyms, swimming pools, playgrounds, and markets. Residents are required to remain in a residential area but may still meet close family members or provide assistance for those who are isolated. Meanwhile, the level 2 lockdown limit means not holding a meeting of more than 100 people in one place at any one time. Ardern said that the city of Auckland, which has been implementing level 3 restriction, will drop to level 2. Meanwhile, other areas that were previously restricted to level 2 will end the lockdown on Wednesday at midnight. Jacinda Ardern believes that the strategy of her government is currently pursuing to curb the spread of the coronavirus is the best strategy for its people.
As I look around the world and at the experience of others, we are still of the view that now, more than ever, a stamp-it-out strategy is best for our people and for our economy, for the long-term well-being of New Zealand. That means every time we see cases, we act, we test, we trace, we isolate, and we repeat as many times as we need. And we work incredibly hard to limit the impact of COVID on everyone.
New Zealand currently has 123 active cases out of a total of 1,683 coronavirus infections and 22 deaths. To oversee the quarantine of citizens, the government has deployed an additional 500 military troops to the isolation facilities. The U.S. Trade Representative USTR office stated that the U.S. and Chinese officials who spoke by phone on Monday see progress on resolving issues over the Phase 1 trade deal reached in January, and both sides are committed to the success of the agreement. As quoted by Reuters.com on Tuesday, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He in a regularly scheduled call. The phone call was originally envisioned for August 15, 6 months after the trade deal was launched. But Trump, who has frequently expressed anger at China over the coronavirus pandemic, said last week he has postponed talks with China because he does not want to deal with them now. U.S. Trade Representative USTR said both sides see progress and are committed to taking the steps necessary to ensure the success of the agreement. Hong Kong scientists are reporting the case of a healthy man in his 30s who became reinfected with coronavirus 4.5 months after his first bout. As stated by BBC.com on Monday, they said genome sequencing shows the two strains of the virus are clearly different, making it the world's first proven case of reinfection. The World Health Organization warns it is important not to jump to conclusion based on the case of one patient. An expert says reinfection may be rare and not necessarily serious. There have been more than 23 million cases of coronavirus infection around the world. Those infected developed an immune response as their bodies fight off the virus, which helps to protect them against it returning. The strongest immune response has been found in the most seriously ill patient. Officials of South Korea, a country held up as a model for its response to COVID-19, is on the brink of a new nationwide outbreak. As quoted by BBC.com on Monday, the latest outbreak of coronavirus cases centered around a right-wing Presbyterian church has spread to all 17 provinces throughout the country for the first time. Each day brings a new three-digit virus total. Social distancing rules have been stepped up. Masks are now mandatory in Seoul. The government is also considering whether to close schools and businesses. Infectious disease experts have called on the government to step up social distancing measures even further, warning that hospital beds are quickly filling up and the medical system is nearing its limits. The Korea Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's KCDC has admitted that about 20% of all new cases are of unknown origin, despite the country's efficient contact tracing system, which can track down around 1,000 potentially infected patients in an hour. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju, or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with Onwards Indonesia beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Productive Assistance to Generate Micro and Small Enterprises. President Joko Widodo launched the Productive Presidential Assistance Program BANPRES for micro businesses at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. This assistance is aimed at providing additional working capital for micro and small entrepreneurs in Indonesia. The target is that there are 12 million micro and small businesses that will receive the assistance worth 2.4 million rupiah. Handing over the assistance symbolically, President Joko Widodo emphasized that the assistance provided is a grant. The criteria to receive this productive assistance are micro and small businesses, banking customers or financial institutions with deposits below 2 million rupiah. Another criteria is that they do not have credit in banks or other financial institution. For them, this productive program is certainly a refreshing injection and it is hoped that it can make them stronger in doing their businesses. Pak reveal that since COVID-19 hit Indonesia, micro and small businesses in Indonesia have become one of the forefronts affected by the impact. Large-scale social restrictions, PSBB, causes the income they get to be increasingly limited. Of the approximately 63 million micro and small enterprises, it is estimated that 50% would be directly affected. The steps taken by the government are expected to increase the capital of micro and small businesses so that they rise from the impact. The micro and small entrepreneurs are indeed the first to be saved so that they can revive much strongly to support the Indonesian economy. Looking back to decades ago, when Indonesia faced economic crisis in 1998 and 2008, the micro and small entrepreneurs actually become one of the sectors that supported and contributed to the stability of the Indonesian economy. The revival of the micro and small entrepreneurs cannot rely on the government. The involvement of other stakeholders is certainly needed, including e-commerce players or marketplaces. They can provide technical guidance to the micro and small businesses by using technology to market their products. The hope is that their business products can dominate the marketplace to replace imported products. Of course, the most important thing is the business players. They must develop themselves and make innovation to respond to the challenges they are facing. Hopefully, this productive presidential assistance will be the right vaccine for the micro and small businesses not only to rise from hardship due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but to have a positive impact in the long term. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. Today's edition of Today in History begins with an August 25, 1933, the Dixie Earthquake Accord. An earthquake occurred in Dixie, Mao Sichuan, China on August 25, 1933, with a moment magnitude of 7.3 Richter scale and maximum Mercalli intensive of 10 extreme. The quake left around 9,300 people dead and was the deadliest earthquake that year. Let's move on to August 25, 1991, when Belarus left the Soviet Union. On August 25, 1991, Belarus broke away from the Soviet Union and became an independent state. In the late 18th century, Belarus was colonized by Russia. After the First World War, Belarus was divided between Russia and Poland. However, after Russia won the war, all of Belarus was occupied by Russia. Following the collapse of the Soviet Union and the independence movement of the nations that joined it, Belarus also fought for its independence. Conclude for today's In History on August 25, 2012, where Neil Armstrong dies. Neil Aldrin Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon. Prior to becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was an officer in the United States Navy and served in the Korean War. As a participant in the United States Air Force, Man in Space Soyuz Human Space Flight Program and the X-20 Dinosaur, Armstrong joined NASA's Astronaut Corps in 1962. His first space flight was NASA's Gemini 8 missions in 1966, during which he was command pilot and became the first U.S. citizen in space. On this mission, he brought together the two manned spacecrafts with pilot David Scott. On July 20, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first men to land on the moon on the Apollo 11 mission. So that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
I am Ziad Zahreddin, the head of the Syrian Arab Republic Embassy in Jakarta. I'd like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationships between the two countries, Syria and Indonesia, get better and provide the benefits to the people of the two countries. Dirgahayu Republic Indonesia, Yanka Tujulima.
Semua berbeda. Harus siap, belajar Mama. Dan selalu mengucap syukur apa yang Tuhan kasih di kakak.
Yeah. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today entitling Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates established cooperation in the health sector. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises (BUMN) Erick Thohir said that the Indonesian health industry is not only excellent at home, but also a good partner to maintain the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine, both domestically and abroad. As quoted by Tempo.co, Minister Erick in a video conference from Abu Dhabi on Saturday said that currently, the cooperation with the United Arab Emirates involves Kimia Pharma and Indopharma, after previously only Biopharma. He said that the cooperation between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates would be mutually beneficial. The collaboration that will be discussed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi includes energy security, food security, and health security in the face of changes that occur due to COVID-19 pandemic. Thereby, the Indonesian government is consistent with these three aspects, which are considered very significant. This cooperation is mutually beneficial. On the aspects of energy security, Minister Erick emphasized that energy security can be cooperated with the United Arab Emirates. He considers that currently, Indonesia's oil imports are still high and Indonesia is only a market. He wants Indonesia to get additional technology from rich countries like the United Arab Emirates, especially in the energy sector. According to Minister Erick, Indonesia is cooperating not only in oil, but also in renewable energy resources. Therefore, he explained that one of the points of the meeting that will be discussed regarding PT State Electricity Company PLN can transform Masdar's new renewable energy EBT company based in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, to build solar energy in several regions throughout Indonesia. Meanwhile, in the aspects of food security, Minister Erick assessed that cooperation with the United Arab Emirates is a must. This is because he sees a large market potential. He also explained that besides Indonesia and United Arab Emirates, African and the Middle East countries may also become distribution center. Indonesia wants to make sure the standard is good. According to Minister Erick, the food production sector is still considered insufficient for Indonesia compared to neighboring countries. Through cooperation with the United Arab Emirates, he wants to improve the quality of food production and at the same time, secure food needs in Indonesia. In addition, Minister Erick stated that the government ensure that the transformation in BUMN can continue so that it can be balanced with Indonesia's national interest. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
I'm Sajjad Haider Khan, Chargé d'Affaires of Pakistan in Jakarta. On behalf of the people and the government of Pakistan and on my own behalf, it's a great pleasure for me to convey our warmest felicitations to brother and people of Indonesia on the occasion of 75th Independence Day of Indonesia. Pakistan and Indonesia enjoy deep-rooted, friendly and brotherly ties based on our shared history, culture and religious commonalities, as well as aspirations for global peace and stability. It's heartening to note that bilateral trade, people-to-people contact, and government-to-government interaction between Pakistan and Indonesia is increasing progressively. I am positive that the existing excellent ties between the two countries will be further strengthened in the years ahead.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 dibaqaikum fil manazil.
Zaman gegen corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Blijf thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je een masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
Saya mencintai Ainun, tapi Allah yang menciptakan kita semua lebih cinta Ainun. Saya tidak pernah merasakan ditinggali Ainun, karena beliau selalu berada dalam hati saya.
Jalan dan aku.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about traditional clothes of the Sabu tribe. On August 14, President Joko Widodo was present at the Nusantara MPR-DPR-DPDRI building to attend the annual session of the People's Consultative Assembly MPR. In attending the event, President Joko Widodo wore traditional Sabu clothes from East Nusa Tenggara, NTT. The Sabu tribe is one of the ethnic groups in East Nusa Tenggara who inhabit Sawu Island and Raijua Island in the province. The Sabu tribe has different traditional clothes for men and women. For men's traditional costume consists of a long-sleeved white shirt with a woven shawl slung over both shoulders to form a cross, combined with a typical East Nusa Tenggara woven sarong over the pants. As a complement, the men of the Sabu tribe wear gold headband accessories, jewelry in the form of necklaces and gold bells. While the traditional clothes of the Sabu tribe for women generally wear a woven cloth that is wrapped around two loops to form a sarong. The color or pattern of the woven fabric will be matched with the men's shawl. In his state remark, President Joko Widodo wore a long-sleeved black shirt, a little bit different from the provisions of the traditional Sabu clothes in general. He also wore the shawl with golden flower motifs wrapped around his body, completed with a similar motif headband. The type of men's traditional clothes which was worn by the president are usually worn by the community and traditional leaders when attending traditional events. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Namaste, I am Pradeep Kumar Rawat, Ambassador of India to Indonesia. I convey best wishes and greetings to the friendly people of Indonesia on the 75th Independence Day. Salamat Hari Kamardikan. India has just celebrated its Independence Day on 15th August. As our two democratic nations celebrate our national days, I wish that India-Indonesia comprehensive strategic partnership will grow from strength to strength for mutual benefit of our two peoples. I believe that a strong India-Indonesia partnership is a pillar of strength for regional peace, security, and economic prosperity.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From
dengan bunga Citra Lestari.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is photocopy, or in English, photocopy. Next, I will give an example of conversation on photocopy, which in English is also means photocopy.
Mas Tony, tolong fotokopikan buku ini.
Baik.
Terima kasih.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme. Photocopy. 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 Which in English is also photocopy. I will say the sentence twice and you can repeat after me. Tolong fotokopikan buku ini. Tolong fotokopikan buku ini. Which means, please photocopy this book. Baik. Baik, which means all right. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. The sentence tolong fotokopikan buku ini. Tolong fotokopikan buku ini, which means please photocopy this book. Is a command sentence to ask other people to do something for us. We can use the word tolong, which means please, plus the root verb and suffix kan. Another example is tolong bukakan pintu. Tolong bukakan pintu, which means please open the door. To respond, it can be answered by saying baik, baik, which means all right. If you agree, or maaf tidak bisa, maaf tidak bisa, which means sorry I can't, to refuse. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak Indonesian for today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Mas Tony, tolong fotokopikan buku ini.
Baik.
Terima kasih.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Warm greetings to you all. I'm Julio Arturo Cárdenas, Ambassador of Peru to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Peru and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of the two beautiful countries. Dirgahayu, Republic Indonesia. Viva Indonesia!
Standing there in your Hulk outerwear, and all I can think is, where is the ring? 'Cause I know you wanna ask, scared the moment will pass. I can see it in your eyes. Just take me by surprise. And all my friends, they tell me, they see you're planning to get on one knee. But I want it to be out of the blue. So make sure I have no clue when you ask. Baby, take my hand, I want you to be my husband. Cause you're my Iron Man and I love you 3000. Baby, take a chance, cause I want this to be something straight out of a Hollywood movie. Now we're having dinner and baby, you're my winner. I see the way you smile, you're thinking about the aisle. You reach in your pocket, emotions unlocking. And before you could ask, I answer too fast. And all my friends, they tell me they see you're planning to get on one knee. So now
tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 33 to 5 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Listener, today we present a mellow song entitled Cak Uncang to be sung by Evi Tamala. The song Cak Uncang is one of Malay songs of Sambas region, West Kalimantan. The song tells a story of a Sambas Malay girl when being proposed by a man. At the time, it is a taboo for the girl talking directly to her future husband. The lyrics of the song also tell about the beautiful and innocent of Sambas girl, which uses Sambas Malay language. The song Cak Uncang has a middle tempo music. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Cak Uncang, sung by Evi Tamala. Enjoy the song.
Kau dek
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voiindonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.